And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into our broadcast again this week, and we're taking a look here at the return of the Lord Jesus and the end of this world. Asking three questions in this series of broadcasts. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready for the judgment, your judgment that you will appear before? Are you ready for the end of this world? We're taking a departure, making a departure from our normal studies and taking a look at this subject and what the Word of God says about the end times. We're not looking to set a date. Only the Lord, God the Father, knows the time of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Lord's wrapping up of this world. But it is the duty of the Lord's New Testament Baptist churches to warn sinners, to flee the wrath to come. And that's our desire for you that are under the hearing of this broadcast. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. You have no hope but in Christ. And this world is coming to an end. And I know that that's been preached by those before me and before us. And that's the passage that we're taking a look at here in 2 Peter chapter 3 speaks even to this end, that there will be scoffers in the last days. In 2 Peter chapter 3, we left off here at around verse number 5. And there are those that Peter warns about in verse number 3 of this chapter, 2 Peter 3:3, that in the last days they'll come scoffers, walking after their own desire. They doubt the coming of the Lord Jesus and what is preached by his people. Where is the promise of his coming in verse number 4? The Lord says that they are willingly ignorant of these things. They don't want to believe and don't take the evidences that are very clear and right at hand about God having spoken this world into existence. They deny, secondly, that God Almighty destroyed this world, again, by the power of his word and by the voice of his mouth, and sent a flood upon this world being overflowed, as it says in verse number 6, with water, complete, a flood, and Noah and his family were the only ones that were saved. Everyone else, as it says in verse number 6, perished. And it was because of sin and wickedness and disobedience. And then thirdly, they are willingly ignorant of this fact, that the heavens, because of the creation, what God has shown there, what God did and showed by the worldwide flood, and his judgment upon sin then, he says in verse number 7 that the heavens and the earth, which are now, what we see and what we have and live in right now, by the same word are kept in store. By the word of his power, the Lord is keeping this universe and this world that we know of and that we live in. He's keeping it by his power. It says here in Colossians about the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Verse 17 of Colossians chapter 1, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. It is the Lord that's holding all this together. And back in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, the heavens and earth, which are now by the same word of the Lord as it was, he spoke the world into existence as he flooded the world. Secondly, some 4,500 years ago, this same world is held together by the word of the Lord, and they are reserved, verse 7, there in the middle, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. There's coming a day of judgment. There's coming a day of the destruction of this old sin-cursed, wicked world. There's coming a day of the destruction of this old sin-tainted world, man and his sin and rebellion against God. In Adam, some 6,000 years ago, the Lord is going to bring this thing to an end, and he is going to purge sin and iniquity from all. He is, it says here that his word keeps us in store. He says this old world is reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. There is a day of judgment, sinner. There is a day of judgment that you will face. There is a day of judgment that this old world will face. And it says here, and perdition of ungodly men. We have these ungodly men, these scoffers, those that deny, those that live for self, those that deny the Lord, his gospel, his Savior, his way, deny his word, deny his people, deny his church. They don't want anything to do with God. They are godless. God says this is the right way. They go the exact opposite way. Wherever God is found, these are found 180 degrees turned from God. They want nothing to do with the Lord and his Christ. And he says this world, which is now, is kept in store by his word. He holds it together. We read it there in Colossians chapter 1, and it's reserved unto fire against the day of judgment. The Lord judged this whole earth some 4,500 years ago by water. He judged it by water. And he gave the rainbow in the cloud to show that he would never judge it by a flooding of water again. He'll never judge by water worldwide again. But he has made a promise indeed in his word that he will judge this whole world by fire. Indeed, fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. These ungodly men, these scoffers, they stand against everything that is the Lord, and they are found in a perditious way. What does that word perdition mean? What it means is every thought, every thought of their heart is only evil continually, as it was in the days of Noah. That everything that they think, everything that they do, everything that they pursue is again against God Almighty, their Creator. Verse number 8, again, the context here in this book and in this chapter is that it's written to the Lord's people, but principles are at hand here that can be a message to every person. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. This passage is so misused. It's misused and abused, just like the passage in Matthew is, judge not that you be not judged. Most quoted and misunderstood evolutionists or those that would want to borrow from the evolutionistic theory of creation will take this and try to take the 6 days of creation and stretch it into a longer time. That's how all those things were started. But then 6,000 years wasn't enough, and so they had to stretch it into millions and billions of years. What this is saying, folks, what the Lord is telling us here is God's not in a hurry. And in verse number 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Man is the one that gets in a hurry. Man is the one that's impatient. Most everyone that you would talk to today on the street would surrender the fact that they are impatient. We are naturally impatient people. We want everything now. We live in such a now society as it is, don't we? Now, now, now. I want everything right now. The Lord's not in a hurry, and the Lord is not impatient. Just because in your lifetime, in your daddy's lifetime, in your granddaddy's lifetime, just because the Lord hasn't come back in that time, doesn't mean that there's anything wrong or anything that's amiss or anything false about the return of the Lord. You got to understand, and may God help you to understand, that God Almighty is eternal. He's the one that's created time. He is not subject to us, and nor is he subject to anything of this world and earth and creation. It is his creation. He's not subject to it. We are subject to him. And just so because of the Lord hasn't come back in, say, 6 or 10 generations of your family, it doesn't mean that his promise is not sure. It doesn't mean that he's not going to come back. It doesn't mean that he's not going to destroy this earth. We're so lifted up in pride in our day. And we think, John speaks to us about the pride of life. And I'm so convicted about how that is. We have been created so able and able to do many, many things and many blessed things that the Lord has given to us. And we take that independence and we take that ability that our great God and King has given us. And then we take it and we want to use that against God, saying, well, things are just the same. They're no different than they ever have been. It's just a big joke that God's coming back and going to judge this world. Listen, sinner, it's not a joke. It's very real. And as we're going to see in our consideration of passages, the Lord Jesus Christ warns, see that you are not overtaken by the return of the Lord and the judgment of this earth and your judgment. See that you're not overtaken by it as a thief in the night. It comes sudden. And then it's too late. Then it's done. This whole world is held together by the word of the Lord. This whole world was reserved for this judgment of fire, not water, but this time fire, where the Lord is going to cleanse and purge, and he's going to deal with these perditious, ungodly men. But beloved, in verse 8, remember, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. It's no different to the Lord either way. And 1,000 years is one day. He's not troubled by time in the least bit. Verse 9, another misunderstood verse. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know, the Lord is the one that instituted salvation. It was the Lord that determined to send his son for the salvation of sinners before the world began. The scripture is clear about that. The Lord has told us in his scripture that our depravity and our wickedness and our sin is so that had the Lord not chosen a people to save, there would be none saved. Had the Lord not chosen a people that he would save and bring to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and then bring on unto glorification, there would be none. Our sin and our wickedness and our depravity is that bad. The scripture tells us and tells you and witnesses to you, you are dead in trespasses and sins. Oh, you need the Lord. And the message of the word of the Lord comes to you. And we pray that the Spirit of God will move and that you would see that you need the Lord. He is your creator. He's your only hope of a savior, and he is indeed your judge. The Lord is long-suffering. He is calling his people to salvation. And when he is done with that work in his time and in his way, he will bring these other things to pass. He's not slack concerning his promise. You and I can make a promise and we'll let it slip. How many promises have I made that I've not kept? But you know what? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He's made a promise that he's coming back. He's made a promise that he's going to destroy this whole earth. And he's made a promise he's going to deal with perditious, ungodly men. We point you to Christ. Repent of your sins and believe the gospel for the salvation of your soul. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.